I like to anagram stuff on this show to see if, you know, something comes up, right? Because it's all the same letters, and they get rearranged, and sometimes some mystery is revealed.
Right.
So, there's here. I first of all anagrammed your name, Josh Greenberg, and then also your Twitter handle, which is Mr. Josh Greenberg. None of which yielded anything the least bit sensible or humorous.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, I was disappointed. I almost canceled the show, but you know. But here are three for Los Pollos Hermanos.
Whoa.
Will you read those and see any one of them, you know, ring a bell?
Okay, the three anagrams for Los Pollos Hermanos are asshole, poles, moron.
Asshole, poles, moron. I mean, that might be what we're doing right here. I'm asking questions, you're answering. But I'm not sure. Do you want to be the asshole or the moron?
Well, as you're the questioner, I mean, you would in this case be the asshole.
I mean,
neither one sounds ideal to me, but I guess I'd rather be the moron than the asshole.
All right, then we're right. Then we got it all set up.
Right.
It's the kind of show I like to give you what you want. Yeah. Okay. You're my guest. I'm going to try not to be a dick.
Okay. I'm sure you're not a dick. You won't be.
You haven't talked to any one of my ex-wives, right? Can we start the show?
I think we probably should. We
probably should start it. Hello, everybody. And welcome to Comedy Death Star, the podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Our guest this week is writer, comedian, and man about town. You may have laughed at his jokes on CBS's Crowded. It's on CBS, right?
It was on NBC.
NBC. Yes. See, I had written NBC.
That's all right.
No, I thought it was CBS. NBC's Crowded. Raising Hope or the McCarthys? What's Raising Hope? Is that CBS?
That was Fox.
That's Fox. And yep. How about the McCarthys?
McCarthys was CBS.
Close. See, yep. 1 out of 3. If I was a baseball player, I'd be getting a bonus right now.
Right.
Here he is live and in person, Josh Greenberg. Here he is live and in person, Josh Greenberg.
Hello.
I stepped on his line.
Sorry.
In the next hour, we'll dig into whether Josh's mother is really as proud of him as she tells all her friends at the club. But first, a message from our corporate overlords. Comedy Death Star is a production of Actors Comedy Studio and ACSDigital.tv. I'm Denzel Myers. Our guest today is very funny writer Josh Greenberg.
Hello.
Hello.
Very happy to be here.
I'm
moderately happy to be here.
You were happy until you met me.
Not true.
And
not
now you're
true.
A little less happy.
Not true. You no, seem great. You do. You seem great.
All right. But I can tell, because I've done this a lot, that when we first met, you were less guarded than now, because whatever, you've gotten to know a little bit more about me. And
you think so?
Well, I just, that's a judgment. I just looking in your eyes,
that's
seem a little less comfortable than when you said, hello, I'm Josh.
That's interesting. I don't feel that way, but perhaps you see something deeper. I mean, I feel perfectly comfortable.
All right, I'm totally happy to be wrong, but I also happen to totally know that some people, I irritate them or scare them.
Not at all. I must say that when I first met you, I met your dog, Chester,
yes,
who's sitting just across the room, and that to me was very disarming, because anyone who has a dog is going to be a cool person, except for Hitler. But aside
did he have
from,
a dog?
Yeah.
Did he?
Absolutely. He loved his dog. You know what his dog's name was?
Fluffy.
Nope.
In German, what's Fluffy? What's Fluffy in German? Do we know?
I don't know.
No. Yeah, what was his dog's name?
Moisha. No, I'm kidding. It was, I was trying to think of the most Jewish name. It was Blondie. And I think the rumor, there's been a rumor for years that the band Blondie took their name from Hitler's dog, but I actually don't think that's true. They probably took their name from the color of Debbie Harry's hair. But yeah, his dog was named Blondie.
That band would not, there's no, it's not on brand.
No, exactly.
There's nothing in it. There's no political statement. It's not like Devo, Are We Not Men. It's, it has nothing to do with the whole.
Right. It would be very anti-punk to name
Blondie.
To
name your thing after a fascist.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
Yeah, I think that would. not on brand for. I never knew about that.
Yeah.
And his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he really loved his dog.
Yeah, he was very affectionate to Blondie. I always wonder if Blondie is in hell with Hitler, because, you know, Blondie's like, it's not my fucking fault that I'm...
And she won't stop barking.
Right.
No, she keeps everyone up in hell.
Right, exactly.
And they keep throwing empty soda cans at his house saying, can you please shut that goddamn dog up?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Hitler.
That's That's probably how it works.
Yeah. She just won't stop. Like morning, noon, night, doesn't matter. Eating, watching TV, news, she's just barking.
As long as she keeps Hitler awake, then I'm happy. That's fine.
You know, Hitler in hell with his dog.
Wow. That took a weird, unexpected opening turn.
That's what the show is all about.
Yeah.
Unexpected, weird things. So you're a writer.
I am.
On television shows. You do that? And you do some other stuff?
Yes.
You tell jokes on stage?
I do.
Anything else we need to know about?
I'm Virgo.
Uh-huh.
That's
September.
It's actually, I'm late August.
Late
so
August.
So right on the, yeah. Right yeah. On the but couch, it goes through, yes, exactly. Right. Let's see. I'm like many, many people, I'm scared of clowns.
Really?
Yeah, real scared of them.
Really?
Yeah, genuinely.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have any idea where that started or how that happened?
I think it's probably fairly common. I mean,
it is common.
Yeah, I never really understood. There's a term for it, right?
Coulrophobia.
Yes, that's it.
Coulro, I think. Phobia.
Right, right. Which is ironic because it's not cool.
It's uncool. Clowns are, yeah.
You know, I never really understood that clowns' job was, in theory, to be delightful to children of all ages. I've never seen a child's eyes light up from seeing a clown. I don't know. Maybe it comes from, Depression era entertainment when that was all they had. But yeah, clowns, just real scary.
And so what happens to you when you see or sense a clown? You get like the palpitations, sweaty palms,
sure,
shortness
chills.
Of breath.
Yep, exactly.
Poop in the pants.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, like the pre-poop. I mean, like it could happen. If,
right. Oh, no, there's actual pooping.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, just don't like them.
When did you notice that this was a thing?
Childhood. Mm-hmm. Visiting New York. Oh. My cousin took me to see Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Uh-huh.
R.I.P. I think they closed
it
down.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And some dummy clown was, doing somersaults and stuff all around, and I was not happy. I was real scared.
So it wasn't even like you had a personal experience. It just is first time clown.
Yeah, totally. Bigger. Yeah, just weird. Oh, I mean, also I was molested by a clown, but I don't think that.
But that
has
was
anything.
That was in college.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It just reinforced the whole thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel that clowns fall into a category of inhumans. People are deathly afraid of spiders, snakes, rats, and clowns because they're all just as far from human as possible. They're just this weird other species. And it's very hard for us to accept that there's a human under the clown makeup.
Yeah. No, that I think that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
The roots, kind of the ancient roots of clowning, go back to the shaman. You know, and
really?
And the shaman was the creature in the pack that could travel between worlds, right? And they go to a different plane, and they gather wisdom, and they come back to us and share that. So this traveling between realities, like Don Juan and Carlos Castaneda, means that they also travel across the River of Death and back.
Whoa.
So you are right. The clown shaman is the creature that thumbs his nose at death, which is the indestructible part, and makes these journeys and then comes back to us. So you're right. They're not wholly human. You can't keep a good clown down.
Right.
You smash him, pulverize him, drop a truck on him.
Right.
He's going to bounce back.
Right.
That's like the most terrifying zombie undead thing possible.
That's
so you're right on.
Interesting.
Clowns are not human.
No.
They're agents of death, and they channel this kind of Kali destructive force of the universe. Right.
Right.
Anybody that thinks they're too smart, too important, too beautiful, too... The clown's going to pop your bubble.
Right, right. That's interesting. Yeah, they're like the destroyer of worlds,
Clowns are the destroyers of worlds that need to be destroyed.
Right,
that's
sure.
That's the thing. So if you're like the pompous, anyway.
Look at Trump. Destroyer of worlds.
Well, that's right.
Big clown.
So that's why.
Just not as funny or entertaining.
Well, but you've been having a great time with him.
That is true.
This is your job as the clown, is to poke and punch him as much as possible.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I would trade all that for a sense of security that we're not going to die in a nuclear holocaust. But yes, I
But you have taken on the mantle for society as the humorist, which means you've taken it on as your task to say the emperor has no clothes, to skewer and puncture that which needs to be skewered and punctured.
That's true. That's a very nice way of looking
at it. It's a noble cause.
Thank you.
So in that way, I mean, you're a clown. You're a comedian.
Sure, sure.
It's ironic that you're a comedian who's terrified of clowns.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. There's a real self-hatred going on there, perhaps.
There is a little bit.
Yeah.
But now that I've opened up this other view, you know, maybe you can claim part of this or, you know, check it out. Because seriously, you are a destructive agent in the world of Donald Trump. I see what you're writing. you're not pulling any bunches. You're doing it as hard as you can.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This has been very eye opening. This is like the racist who gets their genetics back and finds out that they're, you know, part whatever. That's
something I don't want to be.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Whatever it is. I'm glad you made it vague.
It's right.
The racist I did want to check it out. You have been having a blast with Donald Trump's presidency, or it's been good. A lot of good material.
Yes, an endless supply of material. Every goddamn day you wake up and, oh God, what's the nightmare today?
Yeah,
I actually had a very cool thing when it was a little bit before the inauguration. I made a fake inauguration flyer, and it went so shockingly viral. It was really the most delightful thing ever.
The one with the woman with the bikini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I had a friend in D.C. who sent me photos of the actual inauguration where someone had printed out the flyer and posted it to, like, lampposts and stuff.
Right, right.
And then someone sent me a picture that in South America it had been printed out as, like, posters. So
it looks like an ad for spring break in Daytona Beach.
Yes, exactly.
For those of you listening at home,
right?
If there's
right.
any of you, yeah,
right, right. It was just sort of a really tacky club flyer,
yeah.
Which is basically what his inauguration turned out to be. But
yeah,
it's still very weird to me that like I just you know I post these stuff for my friends or people I worked with and. Now it can spread. It's really exciting.
Yeah, good. Now, there's just one thing I want to mention about his whole thing.
Sure.
Kellyanne Conway. You got any thoughts about her? Any jokes about her?
Seems like a great, progressive, wonderful lady.
I do not believe you mean that.
No.
Well, I know this is going to sound very weird, but whenever I see her, I get a kind of feeling that she's kind of a RILF for me.
A RILF?
RILF. Racist I'd like to fuck.
And I... Sure.
There's just something about her quality and... I don't want to say any more because it might get me in trouble, but... I don't know what it's about. Like, a sexual attraction, you can't really explain it.
Actually, now, I don't know if this is cuckoo banana pants, but I don't find her unattractive as a just... I think she is attractive, but that... personality just wafting off her, it makes her incredibly unattractive.
Now I have a lot of things I want to ask you about.
Sure.
Here's the easy one. You grew up in Marin.
Yeah.
Kent Field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did research.
Well, sure.
And, stuff.
And I saw you're friends with Mike Nesmith of the Monkees.
Yep. Close friends.
Good. You really
No.
No. All right. Well.
But I did know there are quite a few celebrities who live in Marin. So.
Oh yeah. Cheech or Chong, I forget which one. And
Chong. Cheech. No, I think Cheech.
Cheech?
I think Cheech Marin.
Anyway, here's my question. I saw that Mike Nesmith also has a friend named Oliver Lowe. Do you know that my friend Oliver Lowe?
I don't.
Okay. It just seemed like a person you would like. So, okay, never mind.
All right.
Mike Nesmith from the Monkees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a gazillionaire in his own right.
Yeah.
You know,
The best thing he ever did was Repo Man. Ever seen that movie?
Great movie.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Repo Man, anybody out there listening, I watched it again recently because I hadn't seen it in years and years, and it was still just as good.
It's so good.
It's amazing that it stands up the test of time. Something with Emilio Estevez.
Right.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
absolutely. Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, they say that Mike Nesmith basically pitched MTV. He pitched the idea of MTV, and that, you know, so they call him sort of informally, I guess, the founder of MTV. I'm not sure how, but he's also like the heir to the Whiteout fortune. I think his mom or something created
Whiteout. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, anyway.
You don't know Oliver Lowe.
No,
you
don't sorry.
Really know Mike Nesmith.
I don't. That's fine. I don't.
But you're friends with him. Here's something really important I wanted to check in with you about.
Sure.
You checked in recently, did like a Facebook check-in, at Los Pollos Hermanos.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell people who may not know what Los Pollos Hermanos is all about.
Los Pollos Hermanos is the fictional chicken restaurant featured in Breaking Bad and now Better Call Saul. Yeah. And to promote the new season of Better Call Saul, AMC did these little pop-ups where they completely recreated the restaurant. I think they did it in New York and they did it in L.A. Yeah. And it was just the most fun experience ever. My girlfriend and I went and waited in an enormous line.
Yeah.
But
did you get some good chicken?
They weren't serving chicken. Actually, they were only serving fries, sadly, and water. Fries and water.
Well, come on, they should give you a frappuccino or
something. I know.
It's a promotional event.
We felt the same way, yes.
Somebody dropped the ball.
Absolutely.
Or some meth, something.
Yes, exactly. But it was free. It was free, yeah. So really there's no right to complain. But it was
Oh, no, we can complain. There's no right to complain. It doesn't actually stop people from complaining.
Sure, yeah. That's true. Your dog, Chester, is sidling up to me and is just the sweetest
little puppy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a huge, huge Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul fan. Do you watch?
I gotta say, I actually think I like Better Call Saul better.
Absolutely.
Now, my question is, I'm not sure how good your Spanish is, but Los Pollos Hermanos. I never know whether it's the Chicken Brothers or the Brothers Chicken.
Mm.
Do you know?
I don't. I took a bunch of Spanish in high school, and it's all gone. It's replaced by useless trivia. So, no idea.
Useless trivia.
Yep.
Well, I laugh because I always see it as the Chicken Brothers. Because in English, it's that's the. But I suspect it's the other way around, Brothers Chicken. But I still like the.
You don't mean Brothers Chicken with an apostrophe, a possessive. It's the Brothers Chicken, do you?
Well,
is that what you think?
I do. That's what I wrote. Brothers S apostrophe Chicken.
Right, because it also could be the Brother apostrophe S Chicken.
It could be.
I mean. We know that it's that in Spanish it's the plural, so it's probably unlikely that it would be the brother apostrophe s chicken.
So we're unclear how many brothers there are.
Right, exactly.
And we're unclear whether they're chickens or they're eating having chickens.
Exactly, right. Exactly. A lot of questions
left unanswered here about Los Pollos Hermanos. Here's another place you checked in recently. I wanted to ask a question. Cafe Gratitude.
Oh, dear God.
Did you go to the one in Larchmont?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Why do you say, oh, dear God?
Yeah, you couldn't see at home, but I rolled my eyes really bad. I almost strained.
I think they heard it.
Oh, really?
It was,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
It was rolled in such a... Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. I got a headache from that from that roll. I have a couple friends who love Cafe Gratitude, but not really my jam. It's just the idea of having to be like, I am happy, or I am grateful. It's just it's like a bit of a caricature of a vegan.
It's depressive.
Yes.
I find it depressive.
Very much so.
So just to let people know, it's an all vegan restaurant.
Yes.
And things on the menu are literally named, I am abundant, I am radiant,
I
am blessed, and you have to order that way.
Yep. And then when they serve you, they sort of say it back to you. You know, here's your I am blessed. I am radiant. It's just, I'm just constantly rolling my eyes there. And everything since it's, you know, uber vegan, everything is a substitute of this is like steak, but it's actually made from like soy milk. This is made from some, you know, this is like a
something
burger.
Something with no nose.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Well, they have one also in San Francisco, which was my first experience with Cafe Gratitude.
Oh, right.
I'm with you. It just makes me angry.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's no, like, reasonable reason why this place would make me angry, but it infuriates me. I can't eat there. I had a friend was like, let's meet there. And I went a couple of years ago, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's just going to get me in trouble.
I'd like to go there sometime and just, like, bring Jack in the Box with me and just chow down.
Now I want you to bring the actual Jack character. Because he's really an asshole.
That would be awesome.
I actually worked with the guy that wrote that campaign, and who was the original Jack inside of that big head. And the joke was that mask fit him like a glove. Like, his head really was that big.
That's funny. Yeah. Those were great commercials.
They're still pretty good, yeah. Here's something else I want to ask you about. You had a 2013 Facebook poll asking people about the worst Christmas holiday song of all time.
Mm.
Do you remember what was the winner?
Jeez, I'm trying to think. Do you know what the winner was?
I know what my answer is, but I don't know what the winner was for you.
I don't remember the official winner. I have my own personal feeling, and that would be Paul McCartney Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. That makes me mad.
La,
like, all over
la,
Yeah, repeat ad nauseum.
Because it's classic Paul McCartney schmaltzy crap.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, and I love some of that within the context of the Beatles and even some Wings material, but oh, that song is just so, it's just repetitive, nauseating, so cheesy.
Yeah. But you don't remember what the winner was for the poll. That's all right.
I don't.
We got your winner.
Yeah. And I guess my second, running close, and this is a rather controversial choice. I don't like that. I think it's the Waitresses.
Oh, yeah.
The Christmas rap song.
Yeah.
Just irritating to me for some reason.
That song has gotten more irritating to me over time.
Right.
And I had a girlfriend in the college days when that song came out, right, in the early 80s, and she loved it, and we liked the Waitresses together. And so for a while, it reminded me of her, and I was like, oh, yeah. But now it's just getting – I agree with you somehow. I know the ending. Spoiler alert.
Right.
That's the guy.
Right, exactly.
It's a happy Christmas song.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right there you want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a Christmas-liking person?
I am.
As a Jew?
Yeah, I really am.
So you like Christmas. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I always felt really ripped off that we Jews don't get cool songs and. You know, I mean, yeah, we get the 8 days and all that stuff, but they get...
You get Adam Sandler.
Yeah, wow, thanks a lot. No, he's great. He's great.
Do you know him?
Not personally, okay. No.
I was just wondering why you were saying he's great.
His films. Some of his films.
No, but this Christmas holiday...
Yeah, holiday absolutely. Absolutely. You
know, that's kind of what put him on the map. Like,
yeah.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
With his guitar singing Dreidel Dreidel or the 8 Days of Hanukkah or whatever.
Right, the turkey song or whatever. Yes.
Oh, see, if it wasn't for that, we might never have to see Happy Gilmore.
Right. Oh, Happy Gilmore is a treasure compared to, like, Click or some of his other... films.
You see his new, one of his new, he's got something new out.
Sandy Wexler.
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
I'll probably end up seeing it. Mm. It's supposed to be a love letter to Hollywood. So I'm kind of curious to see what Adam Sandler's version of a love letter to Hollywood looks like.
It's basically then going to be La La Land and he plays the female lead. I think that's maybe.
Sure.
But, you know, like as him.
Right.
But
right.
In the same role.
With the singing and the dancing and everything?
Well, just like the kind of person that wants to make it and, you know, can't get it together.
Sure.
And, you know. Here's what I was going to say. The worst Christmas holiday song for me is whichever song I hear first in October.
Oh, yeah.
That first Christmas song when you're in the drugstore or the supermarket and you're like... It's still sweaty. I'm not wearing underwear. It's October in Los Angeles. And, you know, and you hear whatever, Perry Como. That makes me a little postal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not our imagination. It truly is getting earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know that movie Brazil, the Terry Gilliam movie, where mm-hmm. it's just Christmas all year long and you have to give presents constantly.
Right.
That's why, yeah. On your resume, it says that you are a freelance mime,
mm-hmm.
which can't possibly be true.
It's not.
No.
And ironic, given our earlier discussion about clown fear, coulrophobia. No.
Mimes are not clowns.
Oh, I know. That is true. They would get very defensive of making that comparison.
They would probably punch you.
Yeah, or pretend to punch me.
I would like to see somebody punch a mime, or a mime punch somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody talks about punching a mime, but very few people actually ever do.
You're right. It's.
I mean, there are good reasons, I assume.
I mean, I'll say, I'll take a mime over a clown any day, though.
You're not intimidated or mimes don't freak you out?
No, mimes are all right. Okay. I mean, yeah.
All right.
Compared to a clown, I mean, it's all relative.
All right. All right, here's another topic. I just got these random topics. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right. You're doing great, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
You feel good?
Yeah, absolutely.
You haven't had any of your water.
No, I'm fine. I feel quite hydrated.
All right, so this conversation is refreshing.
Absolutely.
It's like a spritzer.
Very much so.
You posted something about Suicide Squad. Did you see that film, the Suicide Squad?
I didn't see it in the theater.
Yeah.
I waited a really long time for it to start airing on cable. I had heard so many horrible things about it. But then, you know, I saw it, and it turned out it was horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I couldn't, because I like the characters and the stuff, and people said such awful things. I just thought it would make me irritable.
Right.
And the question I have is, how do these things happen? Like, how could they get this so wrong, right? These are people that are paid to do this all the time. This is their job.
Sure. I mean,
how do they get these things so wrong? Do you have any idea?
I mean, only...
Not as a professional, just personally.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for one thing, there's so many cooks in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and not all art is made great that way. Sometimes it is.
Sure.
You know, there's...
Lego movies are tested and all that. I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of people on those, but they are very clear about what they want.
Absolutely.
And they get it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And virtually every Pixar film is done by committee. And
huge committees.
Yeah. But something like that, it just, you've got different sort of mandates pulling the project in different directions, I would assume.
Yeah.
And what's funny is when you watch it, you see little sparks of moments where you're like, oh, this was probably meant to be something else, you know, something that could have been great.
Oh, you mean but, like a subplot was supposed to happen here,
right.
And they cut it out because they were like, oh, we got to get back to the explosions.
Right,
you know,
sure.
All these different characters and all this stuff going on. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I looked at the poster again instead of watching the movie because mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about this. And it reminded me that Ben Affleck is in this movie. Isn't he?
Very briefly, yes.
And he plays one of the bad guy types? What does he play?
No, he plays Batman.
Oh, he plays Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Because he was in
Yeah,
the,
of course, Batman. Right. Yeah, of course he plays. Well, here's what I wanted to say. Fuck that guy. I hate Ben Affleck.
Do you?
In my opinion, he's a total pussy.
Wow.
And I don't know him. I've never met him. He's never done anything bad to me. So this is why I feel free that I can say this. And if I ever meet him, my defense is going to be, you know, it's like a crush. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If you get closer or farther away, it totally changes. And whatever kind of mysterious image you have of that person
disappears. Right.
You may love them, you may hate them, but it's not the same as whatever the crush was. It only works from a certain distance.
Sure.
And I think this is the same. I thought he's an awful Batman. I don't find him intimidating. I don't find him... I think... I don't even call people a pussy because I don't like it.
Right.
And I feel like it's demeaning to women. But in this case, he's the biggest pussy. And I don't know why I think that. I hate him. I think he's an awful actor. And, you know, whatever they put him in this stuff for... Like, Batman? He's not Batman!
Interesting.
Dude, are you kidding?
Every
time I see him, I basically want to punch him in the face.
Wow, that's really strong.
I don't know why, and it really... Again, I'm going to say it because it's just a feeling, and I'll never do it. And he'll never... Well, if he listens to the show, I mean,
How amazing would that be if he contacts you
it's
now?
It's just an impulse. That's all. But
would you say least favorite actor of all time? Is that where
I
you
don't know if I have categories like that.
But right.
Gone Girl, even.
Mm.
I thought he was cast well in Gone Girl
mm-hmm.
because he's a total douche in that movie, and I just think he's a total douche. So, I mean, like, that to me, that kind of guy, that Gone Girl, that's how I see him all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the films that he's directed, and how did you feel about those?
I don't know. What did he direct?
He directed a movie called Gone Baby Gone.
Didn't see that.
Quite good, actually. Okay. He directed The Town. Did you see that
no,
one?
I didn't
about
see
that heist. Kind of nope. heist drama.
Oh, yeah, the Boston. It was Boston-based, you know, like kind of a Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
anyway,
kind
of. Heist movie. Yeah.
And he directed something recently that was like a Prohibition-era gangster film I didn't see. But anyway, I think I may like him a lot more as a director than as an actor.
I also hate Boston.
That would...
I hate Boston. And the reason about that is just ice hockey.
Mm.
I'm from Philadelphia. I'm a Philadelphia Flyers fan. In the 70s, there was like a Boston-Philadelphia thing. And
rival.
So I just say, fuck Boston.
Sure,
all
sure.
the time. A little bit basketball, that was also happening.
I see.
But have you ever been to Boston?
Very briefly.
Did you like it?
This is really silly. I was there so briefly
that
all I did was see Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. And then it was like a stopover or something on a trip. And so my impression of Boston is that it's linked forever. What's linked forever with Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, and that's not great. I'm sure the city would not want that connection.
That's the best thing anybody can ever say about Boston.
Ouch.
No, you didn't even have time to get beat up there. That's all right. Let's see, how are we doing on time? Jeez, we're really running out of time.
Wow, okay.
How's this going for you?
Great.
Really?
Having fun. Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking.
No. Doing just enough talking. It's great.
All right. I got a sense, I'm not sure how, that you would make a good advice columnist.
Hmm.
I'm just not sure what kind of topic you would give advice on. Do you have any sense of that? If you were going to give people advice, help them improve their lives or their something, career, love, pasta, I don't know.
Yeah, gum health?
What?
Gum health.
Gum health.
Yeah, I don't know if a newspaper would devote a column just for that topic, but
well, maybe.
I'm a big flosser.
Blog, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Big flosser.
Okay. Yeah, love flossing. Mm-hmm. It's important.
Yeah,
it's really important.
Most important meal of the day.
Yep. That's funny and gross.
It is gross.
Floss smells really gross when you're done flossing.
Well, because
it's
waste product.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but wait, you floss and then you smell it just to check it out.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? But
I've never had somebody admit that, so thank you.
Yeah, sure.
You're a star.
You got
it. Admitting that you did that. All
you
right.
got it. You know, I've met people, a lot of people in my time, who have never flossed. And
really?
I just find that horrific.
Even after all the publicity that it gets?
Yeah. It's crazy talk. But what are you going to do? I mean, I can't control other people's lives, you know?
Dental hygiene. So you're big into flossing. Have you tried a thing like the water pick?
Yeah, I have a water pick.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. I don't use it that often, though. I'm pretty old school when it comes to flossing.
The thing I've noticed with those water pick gizmos, they do kind of a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But to really use it, you have to kind of like turn it on and lean over the sink. And then it basically is a machine gun for water, and it just squirts it and sprays it all over the place.
Absolutely.
But then you have to have an open mouth, and it just, I'm not used to things just like flooding, falling out of my face.
Right.
It's a little disconcerting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an attractive look when you're using the water pick.
No.
Yeah.
Like if you're on a date, now you have a girlfriend, you don't have to deal with this, but on a date, you kind of can sneak into the bathroom, you know, and do a little quick flossing
right.
to freshen up, you know,
right.
in between. But if you're using the water pick.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's a good impression, actually.
Yeah, I've been working on that. They also have those dental picks, like the brush picks, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean, the little brush on the
end. Oh, yeah. Yeah, every once in a while I'll go for one of those.
You got some of those?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they also make the long thing where you attach little floss heads to it, and then you can kind of...
Oh, I don't know about what are those?
It's called like a Dentec or something like that.
Of course.
It looks like the body of a toothbrush,
yeah.
but then at the end of it you click these little disposable floss heads in, so you can kind of reach the back of your mouth without. Because I think the number one complaint about flossing, wow, did not expect this
your
much.
Your hands,
yeah, you're tying, you're cutting off your circulation of your fingers, trying to jam your fingers into the back of your mouth. So, this sort of helps to avoid that.
Helps to avoid that. Yeah. I've never heard of the Dentic.
I'm not sure that if that's what it's called, but check it out next time in your dental hygiene aisle.
Check it out. Now, what I did notice, though, is that you said it's about the size of a toothbrush or the shape, but when you use your hands, you actually made it seem like it was 2 feet long, like it was one of those Polynesian back scratchers that people get in Hawaii. Like,
right.
But how big is the thing?
It's not two feet long. No, it's not. It's ironically, like a clown toothbrush. Don't they do that with the big...
With the big ones?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then it comes out the ear of the other side.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right. All right, so how the hell did we get on that, flossing?
Wow, I don't... Oh, you asked about advice columns.
Advice column.
Yeah, I would love to write an advice column.
Dental hygiene.
Yeah. Dental hygiene advice column.
You would love to write an advice column?
Yeah, it'd be a blast.
On that or just in general?
No, just in general.
In general?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now I'm imagining that it could be under the banner of dental hygiene.
Right.
But, you know, it's such a broad subject and it connects to so many things that I think you, especially, can find ways to kind of bounce off into another topic.
Sure.
Starting from dental hygiene.
Right.
Right. That could just be the opener. You don't want to bury the lead or whatever. Is there a joke about dental hygiene and burying the lead? Doesn't it sound like there
does.
We'd have something
to,
in there?
You have to workshop
that. Right, get back to me.
I did like that you accidentally said gentle hygiene.
Gentle hygiene.
I'm glad. That could be the title of the column. So
gentle hygiene.
Yeah, see, this is how
be
brainstorming.
Nice to yourself.
Yeah.
All right. How old were you when you first ran away from home?
I mean, I've done it so many times. Mm. So, I first did it right after birth. Mm-hmm. So, but then, you know, it was sort of like a biannual thing. No, never ran away from home.
It's every 2 years. Semi-annual is every 6 months.
You're right. I was really going for a semi-annual.
You're going for a semi-annual. Yeah. So wait, you've never ran away from home?
No, never ran away from home.
So all that stuff you just told us was total trash.
Sorry.
Come on.
Yeah.
You got to move a little closer.
Did you say total jive?
Total jive.
I really like the term jive, and I feel like it should be more prominently brought back into the lexicon.
Well, let's just shake on this and say yes, because when something is jive, it's just jive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad that you approve.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think Barry Gibb said it best. There's a lot of jive talking.
Jive talking.
Yeah.
Jive talking.
Also, I enjoy calling someone a jive turkey.
Jive turkey.
Yeah.
And you don't say motherfucker at the end? Jive turkey, motherfucker?
No, but I like that.
Jive turkey. Yeah, sometimes it's not appropriate. The other phrase I think needs to be brought back into circulation and more liberally applied to affected areas is too black and too strong.
Mm.
Like, I don't think it should just be for black, strong people, right? Like that whole she persisted thing and, you know,
sure.
Hillary, you know, people were basically complaining that she was being too black and too strong.
Right.
They wanted her to be a smaller, quieter, you know, woman. But if we take it out of the black thing, then I think it has a lot more life.
I see what you're saying. Do you mean literally replacing those adjectives like to blank and to blank like Mad Libs? Or do you mean
the
simply
opposite.
Okay, I see.
The opposite.
I
like
see.
Applying it to people who
got
are
it.
Not black at all and,
sure,
are,
sure.
and are just, you know, aren't being strong black people. They're being like a kid who, I don't know, wants to make a underground newspaper at his elementary school and he gets squashed and you could say, oh, he got squashed for being too black and too strong.
I like it. Yeah.
So that and jive.
Yeah. Let's try to really make this happen.
All right. So we're going to have like a Jeffersons reunion. We're gonna,
right.
Yeah. If anybody knows the Jeffersons, it's a TV show. Spinoff.
Classic.
What? Spinoff. Spinoff from...
Maude or something? Or All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Which might have yielded the most spinoffs of any TV show, right?
Was Maude was not a spinoff of that.
I feel like it might have been.
It may have been. Was Maude ever? She would have been great with Archie Bunker.
Yes.
Right? To come in there one time and you're like, oh my God, we got to do something with
right.
I mean, they're both Norman Lear shows, obviously.
Right.
All of them.
Yeah. And Gloria, which was a
What was Gloria?
Gloria was about Sally Struthers' character.
Oh, yes.
And then All in the Family became Archie Bunker's place.
Yeah, but there were other ones. I mean, aside from the Jeffersons. What else? There
was
else.
Good Times, I think.
Good Times.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That was a spinoff?
In some form, it was. It might have been a spinoff of the Jeffersons or something, but it was somehow in that same spinoff-y world.
For anybody that hasn't seen what were just a Good Times,
mm-hmm.
with what's the guy's name?
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker.
Yeah. Who? And you know who Jimmy Walker's dating?
Who?
Ann Coulter.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yikes.
Hello, I'm clear on the concept.
Sorry, I interrupted. You were saying for anyone who hasn't seen Good Times.
Anybody who has not seen, younger people who have not seen Good Times, I think they should watch it.
Yeah.
Because if you just look at the set, those people are poor.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are poor. And, you know, there are almost no shows now or ever on TV that show people just being poor without making it like at the end everything is okay or it's okay we're poor because we're all still together. I mean, no, it was just they were poor and it was hard.
Yes, yes. I mean, Roseanne somewhat covered that because they were, you know, struggling.
Yeah.
But you're so right. I mean, that was pretty breakthrough at the time, you know.
Yeah. I did have a question like around this area about what sitcoms do, what television does, can't do, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was watching Crowded, which is that the latest show that you have worked on?
Yes. Yeah.
And I was a little surprised that the people there talk about smoking pot, they talk about taking ecstasy, they have a possible foursome in a hot tub. I mean, these are all adults, but still. I guess Two and a Half Men kind of made things change the bar, where the bar is set for network TV. But
yes.
Yeah, what is that a topic when you're working on a show these days? I mean, how do they handle where the standards are set, because they really have changed.
They really have, and I think a lot of it is also due to the competition with cable. Okay. You know, networks know that they have to be able to push the boundaries a little bit. So the line has moved considerably.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still no nudity or anything
sure.
like that, but give it a year or two.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it must be in a way more fun or easier to work on some, like less stuff gets censored.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I can say that? Oh God. Okay.
Right. Right.
Funny. Otherwise it seemed like a very, traditional sitcom, right?
Very, very traditional, old school family.
Got two daughters. One's a slut. One's a nerd. Right? They move back in. The parents are going to move to Florida. They stay. They're impossibly irritating. You know, like Everybody Loves Raymond. Those parents, I mean,
yes.
They're awful. The only thing that is different to me is that the wife is not impossibly hot for the guy. Right?
That's funny. That's
all
interesting.
Things like the King of Queens and.
Oh, yeah, that became a real
even,
like, cliche.
Ralph Cramden. Like, none of these women would be with this guy.
Sure.
In real life.
Sure.
There's just no way. But I feel in this show, they're more evenly matched in that.
Yeah,
I
well.
Mean, she's attractive. And
she is attractive.
Good
but
actor.
Patrick Warburton is also
attractive.
Yeah, it's a good match.
No, they're a good match, and she's good. So I'm not complaining about anything that she's. I'm not saying she's not as hot as she's supposed to be.
Right.
It's.
Well, that's
refreshing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's also just like a gross old Hollywood trope is you know, pairing. I actually was once writing a project, and they were talking about dream casting, and someone suggested Al Pacino and Natalie Portman as like the romantic
the couple.
Yeah, and I
and
just
he's 60 something, and she's like 20. She's still 20 something.
Maybe yeah. Some I
she
mean maybe early 30s, yeah. But I mean. Crikey, that's
it was 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You would never do it in the other direction.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
So,
what was I say? There was one show. Oh, the Bob Newhart show. I was talking to somebody recently, as an adolescent, the Bob Newhart show was the first show for me because I was growing up where I looked at that and said, "There's no way that that woman is going to be with that guy."
That's funny.
And I had a huge crush on Suzanne Plachet. I was like 12 or 13. And I was like, there's no way. That guy, there's no way. How did he get that woman? No fucking way. I can't watch the show.
That's really funny.
It really bugged me. It was like, this is jive.
That's
it was Jive. Bob Newhart and Suzanne Plachette. No,
that's
never.
That's really funny. His wife on Newhart was very attractive. Well,
this is what they do. This is what I'm telling you.
Right.
And somehow they believe that we would believe it, but that also women and men both want to see that somehow, or that somehow. You know what? Go ahead. You're going to say something.
No, I was just going to say I have a lot of female friends who do not like. I mean, they, you know, and I think rightly so. It's not a truthful image. It's like a fantasy on the part of probably some, you know, Hollywood executive or something.
So, but you have female friends that also say this is dumb.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think that my theory is that it has to do with how you position the male leads in a sitcom universe, right? Like a clown character. This guy is king of his castle. He's supposed to be the boss of the household. On the other hand, nothing goes his way. Everybody treats him badly. He doesn't get any respect, you know, at work, at home. Like, too many people, he's the most suffering kind of guy. So I think it's all about setting him up as this kind of, he has everything, but he receives the most kind of shit kind of balance of the, how the, that's just how the sitcom world is. Is always set up.
It's an old trope, definitely. Yeah. As you said, honeymooners, and even like Flintstones is kind of that the guy, you know, who has all the sort of schemes, you know, and thinks he's in charge, but everything goes wrong for him.
Right.
But I also do think that it's high, you know, high time to start playing with that paradigm a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So. I mean, he has to be a loser. He's always the loser guy, even though the wife and the family and nobody else is. Yeah, what are they doing with him?
Right.
Oh, it's because they love him. Anyway. As a child, you had an imaginary friend.
How do you know? How did you know this? You didn't do this research. That would be impossible. Well, how do you know this, sir?
Answer the question.
Okay. Yeah, I had an imaginary friend for. A short time, named Bucky.
Bucky?
Yeah.
And what can you tell us about Bucky?
I don't remember that much. I mean, I was very, very young. But I believe Bucky is also the name of Captain America's friend, Steve Rogers' friend. So, yeah.
Friend?
You're implying there's more between Steve Rogers and Bucky?
You used the word friend, pal, not me.
Yeah, I meant platonic friend.
All right.
I'm not talking about Toy Story, in which Buzz and Woody clearly had something going on. But, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course Bucky. Not. No.
How old were you when Bucky was?
Probably, you know, 3 or something. It's a little tiny
And
kid.
What kind of creature? Was it an animal, vegetable, mineral?
Bucky was a human, but he just couldn't be seen by other people.
Well,
that's
historically accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the full question. As a child, you had an imaginary friend. Your imaginary friend also had an imaginary friend.
Mm.
Where are they now?
Whoa. This is like a bizarro Inside the Actor's Studio. I really appreciate it. I like it. I like to think that Bucky's imaginary friend is... actually, he just got elected president. It's really weird, but yeah, he's
Bucky's
Donald
imaginary
Trump.
Friend was
Donald J. Trump.
J. Trump.
Yep. So weird, but turns out he's imaginary.
Yeah. And is this why Bucky left you when you were at a tender age?
Yeah, probably. I already started developing some progressive views, and Bucky was like, "Sorry, I'm gonna hang with the millionaire."
The millionaire? Was he only a millionaire? He was probably only a millionaire then.
Right. I mean,
So I'm starting to really dislike this Bucky guy.
You're right. In retrospect, I'm like, what was up with Bucky?
Yeah.
He had really poor taste in
Because
in
you're
France.
A 4-year-old mm-hmm. just developing some progressive views, and Bucky leaves you at a key moment of your development to go hang out with the adult millionaire who was mentored by Roy Cohn.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So what does that say about Bucky?
That he's A dick.
A fucking dick.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole, yeah. Bucky.
You know what he is? He's a real jive turkey.
Jive.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the Roy Cohn thing. That's upsetting.
Oh, my God. That's the worst part. Like, any time, not that this ever happens, but if you ever might think, well, maybe Donald Trump is just an idiot, you just come back to the Roy Cohn
right.
business.
Right.
You know, his father and Roy Cohn were, you know, like two penises in a condom. And that's how close they were.
Right. And possibly. Literally.
Literally, maybe. And
he learned all his, like, dirty tricks from
Donald J. Says, you know, this was a mentor.
Right.
I mean, Roger Stone is an amateur compared to Roy Cohn.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You can't learn anything positive about how to be a human being on this planet from somebody like Roy Cohn.
No, certainly, certainly not. Do you know about the diamond cufflinks, by the way?
No.
Donald Trump met... Well, if we have time, sorry.
I don't know. I'm just checking the sound levels. You're doing great.
Donald Trump met Charlie Sheen years ago when Charlie Sheen was, like, engaged to be married to one of his many, many wives. And Trump was like, this is at a restaurant or something, and Trump was like, congratulations, I'm so happy for you. Here, I want to do this for you. And he took off his cufflinks right there, and he gave them to him as a wedding gift. He said, these are, you know, some Harry Winston such and such. And Charlie Sheen was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Then, you know, months later, he brought them in to be appraised, probably because he was trying to buy drugs with them, and found out that they were, like, cubic zirconia, complete, not worth $10. And I think with – and so it turns out that Trump has done this many, many times, countless times. He takes off the cheap cufflinks that he's wearing, pretends that they're, you know, diamond cufflinks, and gives them as a – as a gift. And I think either he learned that from Roy Cohn, or he used to, or he had done that to Roy Cohn. But anyway, they're both evil people. Sorry.
No, I'm just speechless at how incredibly weird this story keeps getting. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Incredibly weird.
Yep.
Regular listeners to this show, of which there may be some, know that I have a thing about pie throwing, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, have you ever been hit in the face with a pie?
Can't say I have.
Have you ever thrown a pie at someone?
No.
Would you like to throw a pie at someone?
Hell yeah.
That's the spirit. Everybody would like to throw a pie, but the reason that you probably don't is because... you don't want to get punched in the face or arrested or, you know, it's generally perceived as a hostile act.
Sure.
I'm changing that. So here's my question for mm-hmm. you. You're going to do the thing that I'm doing, which is you're going to give some person, living or dead, imaginary or real, any person, you're going to give permission for that person to hit you in the face with a pie. And my question is, who would you like to throw the pie that you are going to receive with love and generosity in your heart?
Oh, wow. This is a real pay it forward type situation. I would say any member of my family, I would be honored to have them throw the pie at me. Yeah, and I think that would be a good way to bond, to bring us closer. Yeah, I would love it if anyone in my family threw a pie at me.
Anyone in your family? Anybody in particular? Who's the first person that comes to mind?
Oh, my sister. Yeah. My sister, I think, would laugh hysterically at the idea, and she would probably really enjoy it also.
What's her name?
Amanda.
Amanda Greenberg? Greenberg, right?
And now Amanda Moore.
Amanda Moore. You have permission. Are you giving her permission right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely.
Josh is giving you permission to hit him in the face with a pie. Or a squirt seltzer.
Yeah.
Anytime and without warning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your sister.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And what I'm advocating is not just open season on Josh Greenberg. You're going to give permission to people who know you and love you.
Right.
So what normally happens is that they don't do it when you're, you know, getting ready to receive an Emmy. You know what I mean?
Luckily, that's not going to happen. So.
Well, you don't know. You don't know how quickly and how close you are to receiving an Emmy, Josh. I thought you were pretty close. I mean, that's why you're in the show.
Well, thank you. That's
if you weren't pretty close, we wouldn't be here.
Sure. Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe, you know, another year or two, I'll be up there.
No, my methods are not very scientific.
Sure, sure.
So I'm not saying when you're going to win the Emmy. I'm just going to say...
Right.
Anyway.
I do have a really weird pie-throwing story, though.
Let's hear it.
I knew a girl who was on the J-Date. J-Date is, of course, an online resource for Jews to meet Jewesses, Jewesses to meet other Jewesses. I like using the word Jewess, clearly. Anywho, she met a guy on the J-Date, went on a date, had a really nice dinner, and then mid-dinner, he said, hey, so I kind of want to tell you something. I actually have this really weird fetish. And his sexual fetish was having pies thrown at him.
And flagrante?
Yes. Yes.
Sex.
No. I'm sorry. No. Non-flagrante. Just, right.
What's the
just,
opposite of
just for some reason, I thought you were saying you meant naked, but I think he enjoyed being naked.
Naked?
Yes.
And she wanted...
in flagrante.
He wanted her to hit him with a pie while he was naked.
Yes. And he, in fact, invited her over. He said, I have a studio. It's like, it's all, you know...
Latex sheets
exactly,
and plastic on
exactly.
The thing, like Dexter.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say Goodfellas, but yes. And he was like, I'd really love for you to come over and just throw pies at me.
And pie me.
Yeah. And she was like, I will pass on that, but thank
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah. She passed.
It's a friend.
Yeah, casual acquaintance, but yes. Yes.
How do you pass on that?
Well, first of all, she could have gone over, and there could have been another reason for the room to be covered in latex
sheets.
Yeah.
It could have been Dexter.
Right. But my question was, what happened when they got to dessert? You know? Did she... And I believe, if I recall, they did not get to dessert.
Little foreplay.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You order the creme brulee.
Tossing
and boom.
A piece. Of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm fine with a cheesecake or anything. But, yeah, so, you know, fetishes, man. Weird.
Now, this story makes me sad, Josh.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit, because... I'm imagining this poor, lonely guy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a nice guy. He's got, just for some unexplainable reason, he's got a fetish.
Yeah.
You know, getting hit in the face with a pie turns him on. And I'm imagining it must be very difficult for him to bring this up with women. You know, I mean, you got to bare your soul. I mean, the risk of being laughed at or ridiculed is high. You know, I mean, it's like you take off your pants and the woman points and laughs. I mean, it's the same thing.
Sure, sure. I guess in a way he was brave. In a way, I never really thought about that before.
Very brave.
But
yeah.
I mean, you know,
my heart goes out to him.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I guess I'm seeing a whole new side to this guy. I never really thought about that before. I mean, I think the first date, mid-first date, is a tough time to be that honest. You know?
Well, see, this is always the tough part, right? Everybody's got like a little something. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Little weird stuff. Like,
sure.
I've been divorced 3 times, or I'm actually in an open relationship. We're married, but this is totally cool. Or I like getting naked and you can hit me in the face with pies. And the question is, when do you bring it up? Because if you wait till like the third date, then it's clearly too late. And, you know, the first date, everyone's on their kind of best behavior.
Right.
And that's not real.
Right. You're right.
You know,
it's a real tightrope.
So like you bring it up on the first date and just say, look, if we're going to be real, let's be real.
Get it out there.
Reject me. You should do it now. You wait for the second date, you know, and then it's very hard. Very difficult.
Yeah.
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 Did you have anything weird like that with your girlfriend that you had to kind of confess that you were a little reticent about confessing? Maybe she finds out. Maybe I hope she likes me first and then I'm going to tell her.
I don't think so. On our first date, I went to the bathroom really quickly, and then when I came back, I tripped really fucking hard, and I looked to see, and she hadn't seen it. This is really not horribly embarrassing, but then, you know, months and months later, I said, hey, did you by any chance see me when I was coming back from the bathroom? Because I fell real fucking hard, but she hadn't seen it. So that was a fun laugh to relive that moment. But no, nothing in the vein of pie throwing whilst naked. No. You had experiences like that?
Well, I'm just realizing the question I just asked you was there something like that that you didn't tell your girlfriend until things got a little more serious? And you said, no, there wasn't. But so now that leaves the opportunity open for there still to be something weird and creepy about you that you haven't told her still.
Right. I mean, this is
the show
possible
where you would...
Right here in this moment?
Well, a lot of people come on the show and they unburden themselves. And,
sure.
And just, you know, they haven't told anybody, their parents, their spouse, their employer, and it eats at them. It just eats at them. And then they want to unload or unlock or lock and load, unlock and unload. You know how it is.
Sure, sure.
Well, you got
they say this is the Barbara Walters of podcasts and, you know, just
oh, now you're being too kind. Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Barbara Walters, oh gosh.
That's what they say.
You really know how to butter somebody up. You want to come back on the show, right? You want to be our number one guy who's here number two times. We have never had somebody come back.
Really?
I see you're going for it right now.
Wow.
Barbara Walters.
I'm just saying.
You say that to all the podcast guests. Or just me. No, really, honestly.
Honest to God, I've never said that before. That's just what they say.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a somewhat quirky bedtime or sleeping ritual. What is it?
Do I? I honestly, I'm going to have to disagree here and say, aside from the aforementioned flossing, which is indeed a nightly ritual, I don't know if I have a...
And this woman you're dating, how long have you been dating her?
Just over 6 months now.
And does she have any weird... bedtime or sleeping things? You floss together, I guess that's what's my question.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we do the whole brushing, flossing set. The weird thing is we actually floss each other, which is kind of an unusual. It's like when people have champagne, they link arms. No, I don't do that. That would be...
Really?
I mean, I guess that would be very intimate bonding now that I think about
that
it.
That sounds sexy.
Also...
No, I mean, not the physicality of the thing, but just the intimacy.
Sure, sure.
Sharing something like that with the person.
Maybe I'll suggest it to her.
Does she wear glasses?
No.
Because I've noticed sometimes that if you're flossing, and as you pull the string
out, it's the worst.
Somehow, a piece of weird shit gets from inside your mouth onto the glasses.
It's horrifying.
But it's like when gravity bends the rays of light. And how there's... The physics is that there's just no way that it would bounce like that.
Yep.
It makes a complete U-turn.
You're right. Yeah, I had not thought of that.
How does flossing dislodge something that gets on your glasses?
I guess we have to contact the people at Mythbusters because...
Mythbusters? NASA? JPL is nearby? I mean...
Let's go. These
It's weird.
Yeah.
Right? You've noticed. You've had this app.
Absolutely.
So you and your lady friend, that's what my grandmother would call her.
Sure.
You and your lady friend do have this thing of flossing at the end. You do not floss each other.
No, but I'll suggest that. But okay. No, we're old
generally,
school.
Do you do it at the same time? Mm-hmm. Or like you have his and her flossing stations next to each other? Or what do you?
No, just one sink, but we just sort of take turns. I just thought it would be – talk about intimacy. What if you like took scope or whatever, gargled – and then when you were done, spat it into the other person's mouth so they could share it with you. That would be super intimate, but we don't do that either. What was the question?
That's gross.
Yes.
No, that's gross. That's like the bong. What's the thing with the weed when you smoke the weed and then you blow it into somebody else's mouth? There's a name for that.
Oh, yeah. I don't
Shotgun?
Know. Poor, I think is the – no, I'm not sure what that's called.
But there's a name for that. But you want to do the scope version.
Right, right. No, that is not recommended.
That's like sloppy seconds with mouthwash.
Yes. Yeah. It's not sanitary, so.
It's after. After the flossing, that's when you do the scope.
Oh, God.
Do it before?
Are you asking about my personal habits of
using scope? Well, just now we're talking about sharing scope and sloppy seconds with mouthwash. I'm like, what's in there? What's happening in that mind?
I think ideally you want to use the mouthwash after the flossing.
That's what I always
helps think. To loosen, you know, loosen, spit out all whatever the junk was that you've freed up. But you know what? I recently bought a permanent. What, you look confused.
So wait, the flossing doesn't get it out, it just loosens it up and frees it up?
Well, sometimes it'll get it out, but other times what you're doing is, you know, if you have some, I'm sure, microscopic piece of food, it's not going to pull them all out of your teeth. What it does, you know, it moves them around, loosens them.
Dislodges them.
Then you go to old Listerine or Scope or what have you.
Or the water pick.
Or the old water pick, exactly. Yeah, okay. And you swish it around. That really gets the... How do you pronounce this word? Detritus? Detritus?
I think it's detritus.
Detritus. Okay.
I think. Yeah.
The junk, let's say.
Trash.
From in between the teeth.
All right.
Yeah. Actually, what I just bought at Target recently was a permanent mouthwash holder, like really sort of classy looking with like a brass finish. So you open up the top and have you seen this before?
No.
Then you pour your Scope, your Listerine, your AIM, if you will. I think AIM makes a mouthwash now.
I'm sure they do.
Close Up makes one.
Yeah.
Then you screw the top back on. You got a sort of classy looking little pump on your countertop.
So it's a mouthwash dispenser.
Yeah, that's a better way of describing it.
But it
yes.
seems like it's just been – the Pez dispenser has been around forever. Everybody's familiar with that. This is the mouthwash dispenser.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, I also anagrammed Cafe Gratitude.
Oh.
None of these were really that great. The first one, a guitar defect.
It doesn't really fit with Cafe Gratitude, but
right?
It's... I'm already looking at the last one, which is great. Last one is Eat Curated Fig.
That's got to happen there.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like Cafe Gratitude.
They don't just give you any old fig. They curate the figs.
Yeah, this is a conflict-free fig, what they would tell you.
Yeah, free-range fig. Yeah.
Right. Right. And they wouldn't call it a fig. They would call it, I am loved.
I am desiccated.
Yes.
But only in the nicest way. All right. You worked on this show, Raising Hope.
Yes.
And so that was the last thing I anagrammed just to see if any of these started to...
This is great. The first one is Aspiring Hoe.
H-O-E.
Right.
In a slang way. But that...
However, you know, this does fit because Bert, the father, is a gardener. So maybe that's what this is all about, the aspiring hoe.
See, I didn't even register with me. This is the beauty of the thing, right?
Yeah.
My subconscious is working.
Absolutely.
And I don't even know that it's doing it. Okay. So we got Bert, aspiring hoe. He's a gardener, farmer. Fantastic. What else we got? The last one.
A hen's pierogi. That's interesting. I'm trying to think if there's any Polish connection to.
They must have hens. They must have hens in Poland.
That's got to be it. Yeah. They feed them pierogi all the time.
They probably do.
It's well known that the hen's favorite food is
pierogi.
Exactly. Right. Right. The old Polish dumpling. Yep.
A hen's pierogi.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my guest, the very entertaining Josh Greenberg, for coming in this week. I mispronounced one of the words in there.
Greenberg?
I think very entertaining.
Mm.
I'm going to do it again. I'd like to thank my guest, the very entertaining Josh Greenberg. Nobody mispronounces Greenberg.
No.
For coming in this week. If you would like to buy a Comedy Death Star coffee mug, here they are, right here. You can email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigital.tv. Dylan Vigil is our producer and engineer. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Mermel. You have been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio, right here in Hollywood, USA. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week.